Good evening and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry, and Merry Christmas.
Yay, Merry Christmas.
My favorite time of year.
I love it.
Give, and it's so fun. Try to receive. We have been studying from Terrorized Study, which is not printed yet, correct?
No, not yet.
Wishing forward. Oh my goodness.
Pay It Forward is a good movie, Sabrina.
It is a good movie.
It would be a good movie to go check out and watch over the Christmas break.
And we are going to be talking about Jesus praying during times of rejection. And I think as a Christian, that happens very often. And we all need to learn from Jesus.
We do, don't we? We're also going to look at when that rejection comes, how do we take a stand? And this particular section, if you want to get your Bibles out and open up and join us, we're going to be taking excerpts from Luke 9, verses 1 through 9, and then we'll jump and we'll take verses 18 through 27. I'm not going to focus in on Jesus feeding the 5,000. Leave that for a different teaching time, you know, falling under the miracles, because we're really trying to focus in on the moments of prayer. And so in this particular section, we have a major change about to start happening in the ministry of Jesus's life. And it's time for him to get the disciples to be thinking beyond Jesus, being physically present on this earth. And so as you listen to today's story, I want you to be pondering and thinking about the empowerment that is given in this short period of time. In this short period of time, Jesus is going to give them a challenge as to what they're supposed to do, how they're supposed to do it. He tells them how to deal with the difficult times, what they're supposed to do. And it's so simple. It's not complicated what he says. And then he also provides them an opportunity for accountability. But then at the end, he's going to tell them how they can do it. And it's not easy, because it will be about taking up our own personal crosses. So that's what we're going to be looking at. And it's a great, great passage. So let's begin the storying of God's word, and let's join Jesus and the disciples on this particular time. So after preaching and teaching long enough with the disciples, for the disciples to know what to do, it was time for Jesus to send them out so that they personally could spread the gospel without him present. And he looked out at the disciples and he said, take nothing with you on your journey. No staff, no bag, no money, no extra tunic. See, when you get to a house, what I want you to do is I want you to stay there and I want you just to focus in and disciple. But if you get into this house and they don't let you and they reject you, just shake the dust off your feet and move to the next place. Where you go, wherever you go, they will be willing to receive the testimony of the gospel and go to the places that want to receive it. Oh, the disciples, they were faithful. They went out two by two, just as Jesus had set them up. And they went from village to village, just preaching and teaching and healing the gospel the way Jesus had asked them to. And everywhere they went, people were healed. And when they were done, they ran back to go and tell Jesus what had happened. Now, at the same time, Herod, the tetrarch, had been hearing about what was going on. And he was perplexed. He's like, I don't get it. I beheaded John. And some people are saying that John's rose from the grave. Some are saying that it's Elijah. And some people are saying that it's the prophets. And he said, I know I beheaded John. So who then is this that they're talking about? And he began to search to see if he could find Jesus. Now, one day, Jesus took the disciples and he went up to a private place to pray. And he looked out at them and he said, who do the people say I am? The disciples said the same thing that Herod had heard. They said, well, some say that you're John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say that you're the prophets, come back. And Jesus looked at them and he asked, but what about you? Who do you say I am? Peter was immediate in his response. He said, you are Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus looked at him and he said, blessed are you, Simon, for this has been revealed to you from God, not from man. And I tell you, upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevent it from happening. But then Jesus began to give them a warning. He said, I don't want you to tell anyone what I'm about to tell you. I must suffer many things. I'm going to be rejected. I'm going to be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the Pharisees, and the scribes. And they're going to kill me. But on the third day, I will rise to life. As he was looking at the disciples, he said, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself. You will take up your cross daily to follow me. Whoever wants to follow me to save his life, you will lose it. What good is it to gain the whole world if you forfeit your whole soul? Jesus looked out at them and he said, if you are ashamed of me and my words, I will be ashamed of you when I stand before my Father in glory. That's today's passage. What a strong warning.
I love that.
As I was preparing again for this particular lesson, I'm just, the power of God's word. And I think the thing that storying is doing for me that no other aspect of Bible research has done is that because I'm trying to look at the passages as if I was trying to see the true story unfold, I'm starting to catch things, that nuances that I would not have caught if I was just studying it for a section here or a section there. Because I have the focus and the mindset of Jesus withdrawing to pray, and what was happening before he prayed and what was happening after, it really opens up my mind to the things that he really wanted to communicate in this time. And as I was looking at and thinking, because we're talking about wishing forward, what is it that Jesus desired? What did he want? What was his movement toward? What was he in hot pursuit of? And I was just praying through all the things that I've studied and looked at, and there were so many things, because it's a facing, he's preparing them for rejection, ultimately. That's what it comes down to. And the ability to stand up in the face of that rejection. And if you think about it, based on what he said at the end of the story, and he goes, to be guarded against feeling shame about Jesus, because he wants us to be partakers in that glory. So I was making a list of the things that I see that he's wishing forward towards, and wanted to see, did anything pop out in your mind before I share some of them, Serena, that you thought of? That, what do you think Jesus is moving towards?
Well, he's moving towards...
Did I get you on a spot?
Well, no, I'm thinking like he wants to be in the will of the Father.
Completely.
And by being in the will of the Father, he has to literally let go of every want or need or desire.
What a powerful answer, because I want you to think about, what did he tell them they were supposed to do when they went out two by two?
Take nothing.
Okay. And so what you just said, they could have what before the Father? Nothing.
Nothing.
Okay.
But themselves, the rawness of who you are before Christ.
That is exactly huge it, because I mean, it is. It's a huge it, you know, the rawness of self, mm-hmm. but an ultimate rawness of self where it's not me anymore. And in the Hebrew language, the word for life is chai. It's C-H-A-Y, and I know I'm not pronouncing it right. Please forgive me, all Jewish precious people that are listening. It's chai. It sounds like something like that. I can't even do it. But it means to make raw. To have life is to be made raw. And literally, it is preparation towards suffering. That's exactly it. It's that moving towards suffering. And the thing that I love is that each time I look at the passage and I think about what he's wishing forward to, I've gotten more. And so initially, Sabrina, I'm going to show you so that you can testify on the radio what I had one wishing forward that he was working towards, and that was the preparation of getting the disciples as they face rejection and how to take a stand. Today, which I'm now, I don't know how many months I've been into this, it's been well over a year, about a year and a half I now have been working on this particular series and studying. This is what God showed me today as I was looking at it. So Jesus was wishing forward toward his suffering. He was wishing forward to his self-denial. He was wishing forward to the cross. He was wishing forward to death. I mean, huge, okay? He was wishing forward to an ownership of a belief, okay? That we would believe on him as the Father had sent him for us to believe. He was wishing forward to a faith that is lived out in the face of opposition. Okay? He was wishing forward toward the turning point of him no longer being physically present to him becoming spiritually present. So it was a turning point of physical to spiritual presence. And so that part is huge. And that starts actually at verse 22 in Luke 9, 22, when he begins to tell them, I think the exact words, let me read it in the Bible. It's when he says, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Up to this point, he did not give them explanation of what was to come. That was the turning point in ministry that he started preparing them for the cross. Okay, and getting their mindsets ready. So
I love how God does that. He just prepares the way for all of us. And just during this Christmas season, he's preparing us to really focus upon the true meaning of Christmas. It's a choice. But I just think that's so, you know, in this time of, you know, gift giving and all that kind of stuff. And Christ is like, but don't forget me.
Amen. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. And that is one of the points that God showed me this morning. It was like so funny. It's a movement towards a set path. And then if I remembered in Proverbs where it says, man may choose the steps, but God's the one that sets the path straight. A set path. His set path was towards Jerusalem to the cross. Our set path is to keep our eyes upon him.
Mm-hmm. The author and perfecter and finisher of our faith.
Amen. It is also a set, a wishing forward towards a clear expectation of what will be. A clear expectation. It's not fuzzy. It's not confused. Clearly, he will return. He will return. And so that's the next one, is that it was wishing forward towards his return. Yes, he had to start at the cross, but he will come again. Okay. And for us and for Jesus, it's a wishing forward towards risk. It is risky to be a sold out believer of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, it is.
It is risky. And I wrote out a challenge, you know, in my mind going through all the stuff and after reading, and I think it was probably from Life Application Commentary, some of the questions that they had. And I wrote in my column, I wrote, do I dare go to unsafe places, unhealthy environments, uncomfortable living circumstances, unfriendly people? I'm starting to cry. Or even to people or places that may make me feel shameful when I speak Jesus' name. Ultimately, if I live where it's always safe, always healthy, always comfortable, always friendly, and always full of praise, am I really wishing forward to the set path? That's tough. That's tough because God, yes, does bless his children, but it is a wishing forward towards suffering that he ultimately is preparing us for this earth.
It's in James 1, 2, count it all joy when suffering comes your way. And that is so hard in the flesh to count it all joy when trials come your way. But, you know, I think when it's the word, it's alive and active. And it's truth. And if you just put that challenge and out to the people out there that are going through the hardest time of their life and just asking God to fill you with joy during that time, he will. And you'll have a completely different perspective of your suffering.
And it's so true. It is so true. So this week, as I was preparing this, I had a circumstance where I had somebody in my life that I love. It just was difficult, and you know, and that's how it is in the holidays as you're gathering with families and everything and stuff. And I was preparing and studying, and I ended up reading the question. I think it was David Guzik, and I intend this to really be on the last day, but I'll share what he says. He says, we have a sanitized and ritualized the cross in our 20 centuries after Jesus. How would we receive it if Jesus looked at us and said, would you be willing to walk down death row today and follow me? Because essentially when he says take up the cross, he's asking us to walk death row. A cross was a crossbeam. What it was when they took up the cross, that phrase in Jesus' day, they would have known that it was the crossbeam that went across on the the beam that went into the ground. Those were already set into the ground, dug and stuck in. And then they required that the one that was to hang on the cross, they were required to carry their own crossbeam. And they had to carry that beam through the city, through all the people that would watch them take the journey, essentially to their death row back then. They didn't have the electric chair, they had the cross. And to carry the cross meant to be walking through the people that were your accusers, those that would ridicule you, condemn you, as you would go to your place of death. And he said, if he put it in our words today and said, you willing to walk death row for me? What would you say? And at that particular moment, in my irritation of silliness of life, I thought, really? Am I willing to go to death row to this, my attitude? And I thought, oh God, I am on such a superficial plane right now. Mm-hmm. Will you please forgive me mm-hmm. for my thoughts? Wasn't anything that was in actions or anything like that. It was just a mindset in my mm-hmm. mind towards a circumstance. And he reminded me I had to be willing to go to death row in my attitude. Cut you to the quick. Makes you stop and say, okay, I'll go. We're really hoping you're going to come back next week and listen, because what we're going to do is we're going to take apart this whole passage in Luke 9 and examine and see the things that Jesus did in order to empower the disciples so that they would be prepared to do exactly what he did in wishing forward towards his return. And we have the promise of glory upon his return. God bless. Merry Christmas.